Have you ever felt that kind of sinking feeling? You know, like you're totally trapped in a bad deal, like you're stuck paying for something that just doesn't work no matter what you do.
Oh, tell me about it.
Well, picture that. But now, like, amplify it. Imagine it's not just a toaster or something. It's a huge piece of construction equipment, thousands of dollars on the line, and there's this legal clause that feels like it's totally rigged against you. Ugh, nightmare.
Sounds like a recipe for disaster.
Yeah. And that's exactly the situation we're diving into today.
Hit me with it.
All right, so it's Construction Resources Group versus Element Financial Corp and Dicey A.
Ah, yes, that case, a real doozy.
It really is. It's like this tangled web of finance leases and warranty disputes, and that age-old question, can you really escape a bad deal?
Well, the thing that makes this case so compelling is that it really throws a spotlight on some really crucial aspects of the Uniform Commercial Code.
Okay, the UCC. Big deal for our lawyer listeners out there.
You bet. Specifically, we're talking about Article 2A, which, it governs finance leases. And this distinction, well, it's key for anyone who deals with equipment leasing.
So let's break it down for everyone listening. Construction Resources Group, CRG, leased a loader from Element Financial, right?
That's right.
And here's the thing, this wasn't just your typical rental agreement.
Oh, absolutely not. We're talking about a finance lease here. And under UCC Article 2A, well, this operates more like a kind of like a three-way agreement,
Like a three-way handshake situation.
In a way, yeah. You've got your equipment supplier, then the finance company, we also call them the lessor, and then of course you have the user or the lessee.
Gotcha. So in this case, Element, they're the finance company. They didn't just have, a loader lying around that they decided to rent out, right?
Nope, not at all. They purchased it specifically to lease it to CRG. It was a targeted acquisition.
Okay, so Element bought this loader with CRG in mind.
Yeah.
Did CRG have any say in this purchase, though?
Absolutely, yeah. CRG was involved in the negotiation of the purchase terms beforehand, and that's a key requirement for a finance lease under the UCC.
So CRG wasn't just, handed this loader and told, like, here you go, deal with
No,
it.
they were involved in the process. Okay, so we've got this three-way deal in place, and CRG is, they're expecting a working piece of equipment. Makes sense.
Yeah, but then things go south, right?
Big time. The loader, it starts breaking down, and we're not talking about just a few, minor hiccups here and there.
Like a loose bolt or
No,
something.
this was serious. We're talking 19 repair attempts over 11 months. 19? It's a lot of downtime, a lot of frustration.
Oh, I bet. So naturally, CRG is not happy and they stop making their lease payments.
Yeah, you can't really blame them. I mean, who would keep paying for a machine that's constantly on the fritz?
Right. But here's where things get even trickier. This is where that infamous, hell or high water clause makes its grand entrance.
Yes, the hell or high water clause. Basically, this clause acts like a shield, a really powerful shield for the finance company.
So what does that mean
It
exactly?
essentially says no matter what happens to the equipment, even if it like completely falls apart, you still got to pay us. It's a pretty ironclad clause.
Hold on, so CRG is stuck paying for this lemon of a loader, even though it's like constantly breaking down. That just doesn't seem fair.
Yeah, I know it sounds rough, but the court, they didn't see it as simply, fair or unfair. They were looking at whether the lease terms were legally unconscionable.
Unconscionable. That's a big word.
Yeah, it basically means the terms can't be so like outrageously one-sided or shockingly unfair that, that they'd be invalidated.
Okay, so like a ridiculously lopsided deal.
Exactly. And in this case, well, the court held CRG to a higher standard. You see, CRG, as a construction company, they were considered a sophisticated business.
So even though it might have felt like a take it or leave it situation to CRG, the court was basically saying they should have known better.
Precisely. The court emphasized that CRG had other options. They could have gone with a different financing route, negotiated different terms, things like that.
So this case really highlights how important it is to do your due diligence before signing any contract.
It really does. It's a tough lesson for CRG, but a valuable one for everyone listening.
For sure. Okay, so we've got CRG in this predicament with Element. But wait, there's more. The plot thickens because they also decide to sue Dicey A, the manufacturer of the loader, for breach of warranty.
Adding another layer to this legal lasagna.
Right. But this lawsuit, it doesn't wrap up as quickly as the one with Element. Why is that?
Well, here's where we shift gears a bit. We're moving from the world of finance leases into warranty claims. And unlike that clear-cut win for Element, well, this case, it goes beyond what we call summary judgment,
No.
meaning there were some key factual disputes that the court just they couldn't decide on paper. They needed more information.
Okay, so let's dig into those disputes a bit. What were the sticking points that kept this case alive?
Well, there were two main issues. First, did CRG ever actually receive a copy of Dicey's warranty?
So that's important because, well, under the UCC, for a warranty disclaimer to be effective, it's got to be clearly communicated, right?
Exactly. You can't just bury it in a pile of paperwork and expect it to hold up in court. It's got to be clear and upfront.
So just slipping it in with a bunch of other documents, that's not going to cut it.
Nope, not at all. And this brings us to that second major dispute. Even if CRG did receive the warranty, did those 19 repair attempts over 11 months, did they genuinely fix the problem?
Yeah, 19 attempts is a lot of tries.
It is. And so the court had to consider, did the loader's repeated breakdowns actually mean that there was a what we call a failure of essential purpose under UCC 2719?
Failure of essential purpose. That sounds a little jargony.
It does, doesn't it? But think of it this way. Imagine you buy a bulldozer, right? And it's supposed to be able to push like huge amounts of dirt. That's its job.
Right, push dirt.
But every time you try to use it, the engine stalls or the blade, malfunctions. Even if the manufacturer keeps trying to repair it, if it just can't consistently perform its core function, like pushing dirt, then it could be considered a failure of essential purpose.
I get it. So in CRG's case, it boils down to whether the loader's constant breakdowns meant it fundamentally failed to do what it was designed to do.
Yeah.
And if so, could Dicea really just hide behind their warranty disclaimer?
Exactly. And because these were, factual questions, did they get the warranty? Were the repairs effective? The court, well, they couldn't just rule in Dice's favor right away. They needed more evidence, more testimony to, really sort it all out.
Makes sense. So this whole situation really highlights how important clear documentation and communication are in any business deal.
Couldn't agree more. It's like they say, get it in writing.
Right. Always a good idea. Okay, so we've got finance leases, we've got that hell or high water clause, and now we're tangled up in these warranty disputes.
It's starting to feel like a legal thriller, honestly.
Oh, for sure, for sure.
But before we get to the climax of this story, CRG's attempt to get Dicea to fit the bill for their debt to Element, let's take a closer look at the different types of warranty claims that are in play here.
Yeah, good point. So first, we've got what we call express warranty claims. And those really hinge on whether Dicey's repairs actually solved the loader's problems. Did they actually fix it? Then there's also the implied warranty of merchantability.
Yes, the implied warranty of merchantability. That's basically like the assumption that a product's going to do what it's supposed to do, right?
Precisely. It's like that unspoken promise, like a toaster, it's got to toast bread. That's its job. And this gets particularly interesting in CRG's case because Dicea, they tried to disclaim this implied warranty.
But remember, like we talked about earlier, for that disclaimer to actually hold up, they had to prove they properly communicated it to CRG. And that was one of those key points of contention.
Absolutely. So we've got a lot of legal threads weaving together here.
We've got finance leases, that pesky hell or high water clause, warranty claims, and then that big question looming. Can CRG shift their financial burden onto Dacey?
Lots to unpack.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
Stay tuned, folks, because in the next part of our deep dive, well, we're going to explore CRG's attempt to use the legal concept of indemnity. You're trying to escape this financial quagmire, I guess you could call it.
Can't wait to dive back in.
All right. So last time we left off with CRG kind of stuck, right? They were on the hook for these payments on a loader that wasn't working the way it should. And it was all thanks to that hell or high water clause in their lease with Element Financial.
Yep. And their lawsuit against Dicey, the manufacturer, it wasn't exactly smooth sailing either. They were running into some roadblocks with those disputes over the warranty and whether the repairs actually, fixed the problem or not.
Right. So it seems like CRG, they were trying to pull off a bit of a legal maneuver, almost like a pass the buck kind of strategy, you know?
Passing the buck, huh?
Yeah, so they sued Dicea, not just for breach of warranty, but also for something called indemnity. Can you break down what they were hoping to achieve with that indemnity claim?
Sure. So indemnity, it's basically a legal principle where, like, one party is saying to another, hey, you created this whole mess, so you should be the one to pay for it.
Like if you borrowed a friend's car and got a parking ticket, but then tried to get your friend to pay for it.
Exactly. That's the basic idea behind indemnity. In this case, CRG was basically saying to Dicea, hey, because of your faulty loader, we're in this financial mess with Element, so you should cover our debt.
You broke it. You bought it, basically.
Yeah, something like that. But the Corps wasn't buying it. They basically said that CRG's liability, the money they owe to Element, it came directly from the lease agreement, that contract they signed.
Because of that hell or high water clause, right?
Right. That was CRG's commitment no matter what condition the loader was in. So the court is saying even though the faulty loader started this whole thing, CRG's legal obligation to pay, it really comes from their contract with Element.
So even though Dicea made the problematic loader, the court's saying their actions weren't the direct cause of CRG's debt.
It is a nuanced distinction, yeah.
It is. So that brings us to a really important point about indemnity claims.
Mm-hmm.
To actually win one of these, you have to prove a direct link,
mm-hmm.
you know, between the party you're suing and the harm you suffered. It's not enough to just show that, you know, that they were kind of involved somehow.
Nope. You have to really demonstrate that their actions or, you know, sometimes inaction were the direct cause of your specific loss. It's got to be that clear chain of responsibility.
So CRG trying to use indemnity to get out of their financial obligation, it didn't work because the court said Dicea wasn't like primarily responsible for that debt to Element.
Exactly. Indemnity, it's not just about pointing fingers. It's about showing that, you know, someone else's actions led directly to your burden.
This case really is like a masterclass in contract law, all these complexities. What are the big takeaways our listeners should really remember?
Well, first of all, this case shows just how powerful a well-structured finance lease can be. You know, it can really protect the finance company, even if the equipment doesn't work properly. It's a double-edged sword, for sure.
All thanks to that hell or high water clause, huh? Those are no joke.
Not at all. And UCC Article 2A, it really backs those clauses up as long as the terms are clear and not what we talked about earlier, unconscionable.
So buyers really got to beware. Do your research, understand what you're signing, and be ready for what could happen.
Exactly. But on the other hand, this case also shows us that these warranty disclaimers, they're not foolproof. If a manufacturer doesn't communicate those disclaimers properly, or if the product just doesn't do what it's supposed to do, that failure of essential purpose idea, well, those disclaimers, they can be challenged.
So there's hope, you know, for someone who ends up with a lemon, there are options, legal paths to take, and sometimes those little details of the law, they can really help you out.
Absolutely. It often comes down to the specifics. Did you get the warranty? Did those repairs actually work? That's why having that documentation is so important. It's like your shield in those he said, she said situations.
Exactly. And last but not least, this case. It gives us a real look at how indemnity claims work. Trying to pass the buck, that only works if you can show without a doubt that the party you're suing, they caused the problem.
Yep, they got to be the root cause, not just kind of involved.
Well said.
So with that, we've covered a lot in this deep dive. Finance leases, hell or high water clauses, warranty issues, even indemnity.
It's been quite the journey.
It has. But before we finish, I want to leave our listeners with something to think about. Remember that hell or high water clause? This case really shows us how important it is to look closely at any contract before you sign, especially when it comes to clauses that limit your options, you know?
Don't just skim and sign.
Exactly. Take your time, ask questions, really understand what you're agreeing to. What are your non-negotiables when you're entering into an agreement? What are the red flags that make you pause?
That's so true. It's easy to just want to, you know, get the deal done and move on. But taking that time to really understand those terms, well, that could save you a lot of trouble later.
Yeah, you said it. And what's really interesting is that these principles, they don't just apply to, you know, huge construction projects or these complicated finance leases. They're important for any contract, services, products, even partnership agreements, all of it.
It's like that saying, you know, the devil's in the details.
Yeah. So whether you're, you know, a seasoned business owner or just starting out, this case has some really good lessons. Be informed, be proactive, and always, always be prepared.
Wise words. Okay, so we've done some serious navigating today. Finance leases, that hell or high water clause, warranty disputes, even indemnity. Wow.
A real legal jungle, Jim.
It has been. But I hope our listeners have a clearer understanding now of these tricky issues, you know, how they can actually play out in real situations.
I hope so too. Real life examples are always so helpful.
Absolutely. And now, We want to hear from you, our listeners. Have you ever run into that hell or high water clause in a contract, I mean?
Oh, yeah. Or maybe you've had to deal with a warranty dispute that just wouldn't go away.
What are the red flags you look for? You know, the things that make you stop and say, wait a minute, what's going on here?
We really want to hear your stories, your insights, even your questions. Let's keep this conversation going. We can all learn from each other, right?
Absolutely. Knowledge is power. Especially when you're trying to protect yourself in, you know, in the business world, in contracts.
Couldn't have said it better myself. So until next time, stay curious, stay informed, and please, oh, please read that fine print.
Always good advice. Thanks for joining us for this deep dive, everyone.